your working class radio experience, where hard work, common sense, and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.
Working hard to make a living, rich and poverty. My father's son left a cameo, blue denim, had his vape.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So again, as I keep saying, November, very important. Every race, every branch of government, from dog catcher to Congress, so important that the people we put in there are sane, rational, thoughtful, caring, compassionate, reasonable people. I think that's the least we should be asking. And it's days like today that make you wonder, who are those people that we're putting into the halls of power? And maybe we should be getting new people, which is why I've asked Brett Pransky to come talk with us. He's a Democratic candidate for state representative out in my home state of Ohio, there in the 77th House District, just a little bit east of Columbus, as I understand. Brett, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I'm really happy to be here.
So the first question I ask every candidate, or anyone who throws their hat in the ring, the million-dollar why. Why do you want to do this to yourself?
Well, I tell you what, there are lots of reasons, especially these days in Ohio. You know, we seem to have a particular issue today that we're spending a lot of time, you know, talking about, but there are many more than this as well. And there's a number of real serious problems here in the state of Ohio, everything from jobs to education to events like today. One thing I would like to point out to your listeners is when we're talking about guns and legislation or so on, the overwhelming majority of these laws are written in your state legislature. So it's seats very similar to mine that are of real serious importance come November.
So how everyone says this is in the U.S. Constitution. States have no rights in this, Brett. How would you as a legislator change that?
Well, for example, there's a couple of laws here in Ohio, and then most people, if you research the laws that exist in your state, you're going to find some pretty surprising things. One of the reasons I decided to get into the race, especially in my district, is one particular piece of legislation. It's popularly called the Guns and Bars Bill, where it's legal to carry a loaded weapon into a bar or a restaurant.
Is that not the dumbest thing ever? I mean, I don't mean to cut you off, but to me, that just seems like we're screaming for people to get all liquored up and shoot people.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop there. The same bill actually makes carrying a concealed weapon legal in an airport, makes it legal in a daycare center, of all things, also makes it legal in school zones, as long as you don't take it out of your car. So any one of these things is a recipe for disaster, but they are now Ohio law all the same.
So is the argument that those are all soft targets and that the criminals, the gun criminals, they know this and they're going to head there? Is that the argument, or is it just that we're breaking down barriers so that we can have our love affair with our guns and carry them wherever we go?
I think it's more about breaking down barriers. For example, there's a bill right now that passed the Ohio House. Hasn't become law yet, but it's well on its way. House Bill 233, which actually bans gun-free zones, essentially. Basically, what the bill does is it makes it legal for you to carry a concealed weapon past a gun-free zone marker, as long as you're willing to leave if you're asked by someone in that establishment to leave. So now, you know, in any piece of legislation, you have to ask yourself, what do we get and what do we sacrifice? Usually these are discussions about the difference between public good and individual rights. And these are usually the discussions we're having. But I fail to find what we gain from these laws. You know, I don't know what it is that we get from these things. If I'm a concealed carry permit holder, I can walk right past the gun-free zone, any gun-free zone. And unless someone challenges me and asks me to leave, I have yet to break the law. And I just think that's an insane thing to do. And those bills are currently being considered now. The Guns and Bars bill is law. It was actually written by my opponent. He was the one who proposed it and started that whole bit of nonsense here in Ohio. It's one of the reasons I got into the race was when that became law, I asked myself, how in the world did that happen? And when I found out it happened in my backyard, I decided, well, I think I may have to do something about this.
No, and that's what I got to be honest. I'm hearing that. I ask every candidate who comes on why, and I'm hearing that message more often of, you know, my representative's doing horrible things, and I want to be the one that undoes all the horrible things that that person got away with.
Right. Right. That's a big motivation behind doing it. It's also, you know, here in Ohio, we've got a big corruption problem. You know, we just had the Speaker of the Ohio House just recently had to step down. He's under FBI investigation. And every day you turn around and there's a new outrage, you know, coming from the Ohio State House. I think it's pretty safe to say that Ohio is the most corrupt state house in the nation.
I don't know. Pennsylvania, I think, is going to give you a run for their money. I mean, we've got a
I was actually born in the great state of Pennsylvania, so I love the people there. But,
okay, so we've switched. I grew up in Ohio, and I moved to Pennsylvania, so we're switched. But I'm looking at, you know, we've got a sexual abuser in our state house who evidently the Republicans just won't throw out. He threatened to kill another legislator with a gun if she broke up with him. So I don't know that you've got that kind of crazy.
Well, we've got quite a bit of crazy around here. It's been pretty nutty in the Ohio State House. We've been losing representatives left and right for scandal after scandal. Most of it having to do with pay for play stuff. And recently, I don't know if you've heard about the charter school ECOT and the fraud case there. That's very likely to end up in a another investigation that's probably going to turn criminal and something like. I think the number is well over $100 million now that have been stolen from the Ohio taxpayer in order to, you know, to fund this school who, you know, in most cases, we're just turning around and shoveling that money back into legislators' pockets.
And to be honest, I mean, that's the whole charter school gimmick. That's the voucher gimmick. That's all of those education and corporation privatization gimmicks. It happens here. It's happening all across the country. And this, again, is another reason why we need sane, rational people who believe in public institution and good governance. And I was looking at your website, and you have like three basic tenets that you're looking into. Jobs, right. the opioid crisis, and good governance. And this is one of those things that, you know, I've even talked to Republicans who are saying, you know what, things have gotten too crazy. We need to bring this back to where we put some faith back in government and put some faith back into the people who are in our government.
Right. And that's, you know, in just to bring that back to kind of the issue of today's show, when we're talking about guns and gun legislation, when we talk about common sense and decency, you know, one of the things that we need to do on some of these issues is kind of attack the binary that the right likes to throw at us. They try to take these issues and turn them into you're either all the way in one camp or all the way in the other. The idea that an individual voter might have a nuanced opinion about these things is just something that they're not willing to address, and really they don't want. If you look at the commercials that are being played, and there's a couple of them out there that are just absolutely ridiculous, where either you're pro to a Second Amendment or you're a gun grabber. You know, that's the favorite term around. The idea that you could be for something that is common sense,
right?
Something that could save lives but might also be consistent with the Second Amendment. You know, this is the argument that we just won't engage in. And it's a big part of the problem. You know, one of the things we need is we need legislators and people in positions like the one I'm asking the public for, who are willing to sit down with people who disagree with us and come to some kind of agreement for the betterment of the people in society as a whole. And the fact that we have simply abandoned that, you know, in this reach for the next moment that will win us a few fringe votes, you know, I just think it's a terrible thing. And honestly, I think the voters in Ohio are pretty tired of it.
I hope you're right. I hope not just in Ohio, I hope across the country, because, you know, you look at this and you're right. We're pitted against one another, and there can be no middle ground. And that's by design. Look, I mean, the NRA spends a lot of money on pushing their messaging, and you've got politicos on both sides, you know, raising money off of each side of the extreme. Look, I tell this all the time. I grew up in a neighborhood where a housing project on the west side of Cleveland, where you saw somebody with a gun, somebody was going to die. I now live in a fairly rural area where you see somebody with a gun, maybe they're going to the free gun range. There's different communities, different cultures, different thoughts. But at some point, you've got to be able, as a policymaker, to craft legislation that's going to protect our kids and protect our society. Because, look, I think the one thing I hope we can all still agree on, and I know in the world of alternative facts and alternative realities, we don't agree on a lot, but I hope we can all agree that when we send our kids to school, we don't want them to get murdered.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I mean, for example, I grew up in gun culture. I grew up among hunters. I grew up learning how to shoot. I grew up doing all of these things. I grew up in a household full of people who wore camo to the grocery store. Okay. This is, and none of those people now today, are still NRA members. Whole household was when I was growing up. I had generations ahead of me who were growing up, but they're not anymore. And the idea is because, when we're talking about common sense legislation and things that would save lives, even the NRA membership by overwhelming numbers is in favor of these reforms. And this idea that the leadership and the gun manufacturers can hijack the entire argument and push even their own membership to the sidelines is, today's NRA member is a completely different, different type of individual than it was when I was growing up, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I remember
I don't think that's a good thing.
No, I'm with you. I remember when George H.W. Bush, turned in his NRA membership card. And I think that was one of those watershed moments where it was becoming apparent what the NRA was turning into.
Right. I mean, and I kind of want to make an appeal to, to folks in my district and also to folks who listen to your show who are gun owners. Gun owners are thoughtful people. I mean, they'll come to the table and they'll work these issues out. It's the leadership. It's the leadership. It's the propaganda machine that is really kind of steering this direction where they want it to go. And they are in such a minority when it comes to this issue. I'm surprised they're still so relevant.
Well, it's because they've got lots of money. Again, it comes back to just how corrupting money is in our politics. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Brett Pransky. He's a Democratic candidate for state rep in Ohio's 77th House District. Check out his website, brettpransky.com. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com and tweet it out as well. You can follow him at Brett Pransky. I want to talk about a couple of other things, the gun issue front and center, but I also want to talk about, some of the things that you've written, because I think you've done some really fantastic writing. And it leads me back to this idea of compassion and having people who are thoughtful of others. Because my fear is we've become so team sport mentality, so in our camps that we don't really care about the other side. And you've written a couple of really great stories. I hope people will take a look at. One was titled "Better Than Nothing," and the other one was "The Kinds of Hunger." I got to be honest, both of them touched me, and especially the one, the Better Than Nothing one, where you talk about giving a couple of dollars to a homeless guy who had asked your help, and it was the one line that got me that you write: "I pressed to unlock the button, the keys to my Honda. I climbed in, started the engine, turned on the heat, and never looked back. I looked forward, though. I pulled out of the lot and felt equal parts of pride and shame, that simultaneously feeling that I had done something right, also something terribly incomplete." You're right. "I often wonder if it is this feeling, not the excuses, that make us ignore reality, that perhaps it is not our greed that makes us do nothing, but our deeper understanding of just how large the task really is and how small we are in its shadow." And I get that feeling all the time, and I think a lot of us do. And this is where I always appeal to people's sense of, higher thinking and the use of our government. I believe our government does collectively what we individually cannot do, like stamping out homelessness or hunger or, these big ideals. So I just wanted to bring that up because I think it was so important.
Well, thank you. I mean, first of all, I'm flattered that you read my work. It's something that I've always taken a lot of pride in. And this issue in particular, homelessness, is something that I've been involved with in my neighborhood for a number of years. Actually, the first time that particular piece that you just read was printed was actually in a local street paper here in Columbus. Now, the street paper is actually it's called Street Speech, and it's handed out by local homeless folks as a means of income. So they, they buy the papers for a small amount, and then they sell them for $1, $2, whatever the donation might be. And that's where that's the funds that they use to get off the streets. And it's a great program. It's been alive in the city for a long time. I've been writing for them for years. But this idea of how big the task is, especially these days, you walk out your door, you look in any direction, you're going to find hardship. It's impossible not to. And so what I was talking about in that piece that you wrote there or that you read there was, it's easier to unplug sometimes. It's easier to unplug, just go back in your house, take care of your own, look inward, take care of my family, my kids, the people who are under my roof, and forget about everybody else. All right. Sometimes that's easier because doing the opposite is very hard. All right. Getting involved, being a first-time candidate in a political campaign is hard. You know, I can attest to that. I'm a teacher by day. This is my first, you know, this is my first race. It's not an easy thing to get out there in the world and decide, you know what, I'm going to be the one to make a change. Or at least I'm going to do my part to bring that change about. Sometimes it's easier, and I don't want to dismiss it to say it's more convenient to unplug, but sometimes we see it and it's just too much. You know, we see homelessness, we see poverty, we see people suffering, we see all of these things, and sometimes it's easier, you know, and we just retreat. And it's an act of discipline to do the opposite. It's an act of discipline to move outward, to go out and join hands with other people, to lock arms with your neighbors instead of being afraid of them, as my opposition would like us to be. You know, and go out there and try to make a positive change and do something for someone else. You know, it's much easier just to think of ourselves, but you know, at the end of the day, I just refuse to do it.
And the reason I brought that up, and I want to talk a second about the other story that I read, but the reason I bring that up is in today's political discourse, it's all about, you know, cutting taxes for the very wealthy, cutting, you know, food stamp programs, Medicaid programs. It's all about this you know, misplaced value system that some of our elected leaders have, and then calling themselves Christians. It's we live in a very, I guess, to use the alternative reality world. We live in an alternative reality.
Right. Right. That's definitely the case. The idea that we can profess to have certain values, but then, you know, treat certain folks in our society, you know, with disdain, the two things just don't measure up.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary stuff. Now, I mean, look, we've got, and the sad thing is fortunately, I shouldn't say the sad thing. Fortunately, today, the Tea Party caucus and the Democrats got together and voted down the horrible farm bill. That was, again, going to literally take food out of the mouths of children. And the reason that I highlight this is one of the articles that also that you wrote that, you know, I had heard before, but never in the way that you put it, was talking about a foreign student who was in your classroom and about spicy food. And it was one of these things where I don't think we as Americans understand sometimes how good we really have it.
Right. Yeah, that particular piece you're talking about was, and I've had many life-changing, you know, events happen in my classroom. This particular one, I had a very, very quiet student who was, you know, whose family had come over from Nigeria, and he was in my classroom actually as a high school student. So I teach in a university classroom. He was a very bright student, made it in my classroom, and he didn't speak much. It was several weeks before I talked to him, and when he finally did, you know, seek me out, we ended up putting together some scholarship essays for some scholarships that he wanted to compete for. And he ended up winning a significant amount of money. I'm not sure what university he's at now, but he's still in school. But the story he told was just, you know, was the real thing that changed me. And I guess to summarize it real quickly, he told me his story was basically a recipe. It was a recipe for a dish, and I can't pronounce it correctly, but the dish that they made was very, very hot, like painfully so, right? And I always found this confusing. Why? Because they would feed it to small kids and things like that. And the reason that they did it was what changed me. The reason that the meal was so hot was because they needed to drink a lot of water, because that was the only way they could fill their bellies. There wasn't enough to go around. So they made it incredibly hot so you would fill the empty space with water and have that feeling of being full. We don't understand struggle, or at least most of us don't. This kid understood, and, you know, and he did not, you know, he did not waste one ounce of opportunity. He was a very special kid, and I'm sure he's off somewhere now, you know, doing something incredible. And I'm not sure what it is, but I sure hope I run into him again one day.
Yeah, and these are the people that you know, our president calls animals.
Right. That's exactly right.
It's and this is, again, why I say we need to be taking back our government taking back our halls of power. And I hope people will check out your website, brettpransky.com. And I hope the good folks of the 77th House District there, I guess you're just a little east of Columbus, right?
Yep, just a little southeast of Columbus in Fairfield County.
There you go. I hope the folks there will take a look and cast their ballot for you this November. Brett, I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. I appreciate it. Again, brettpransky.com. We'll get a link sent out. Just check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.